The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by TIAA. TIAA makes you a retirement promise, a promise of a guaranteed retirement paycheck for life. Learn more at TIAA.org/promisespayoff.
The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by Dynatrace. Explore career opportunities at Dynatrace, a leading software observability and security company where your passion thrives, innovation leads, and well-being matters. Visit careers.dynatrace.com. LinkedIn presents.
Welcome to Brown Table Talk. I am DC Marshall, founder and CEO of Diverse and Engaged. I am a DEI thought leader, LinkedIn top voice, and I'm here with my co-host, Mita. Hey there, Mita.
Hey there, DC Marshall. I'm Mita Malik. I'm a LinkedIn top voice, a business leader, a mom, and now an author. My book, Reimagined Inclusion, Debunking 13 Myths to Transform Your Workplace, is available on Amazon to pre-order right now.
Awesome, awesome. And if you have been listening to the show, you know that Mita and I, we started Brown Table Talk as a place to spill the tea on the hard truths women of color face in their workplaces. From my perspective as a Black woman, and for Mita, her view as a South Asian woman, and at our table, we unpack it all. We don't leave any juicy details out. You know, we have stories for days. But after the stories, we always provide tips that you need, not on how do you survive, but how do you thrive in organizations wherever you are. All right. So Mita, what are we talking about today?
D, why are you so ambitious? Why are you so ambitious? That's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about ambition, how it's branded, how it's weaponized, and why am I so reluctant sometimes to showcase my ambition? Why? Why is that? I want to talk about that. That's what we're going to get into. Okay. We're going to share some stories, leave some tips at the end. We're going to spill a lot of tea.
Okay. I love this. But you know, my first thought was, wait, who said that to you? Did somebody say that?
Dee's ready for a fight. Dee's ready for a fight. You know what? It's so interesting you say that. I have always received that comment over the years. Wow, Mita, you're so ambitious. Wow.
But as a positive? A positive?
A little bit of positive with shade. I don't think, but here's the thing. You and I are both ambitious.
We are.
I don't need to say that to you. I celebrate you. When have I ever said to you, DC Marshall is ambitious? I know D's ambitious. I'm here for it. But I don't need to say that to you. I feel like when you just say that to someone, there's some shade there. There's something implied, right? I was thinking about that. I have never said to anyone I admire, respect, do work with, wow, you're so ambitious. No, that is who you are. That is how you exist in this world. And that's freaking amazing.
No judgment here. It feels like othering. It feels like you're different. Mm-hmm.
And when I
hear you say shade, it not in a good way. That's
there's
what I
something,
hear.
A little bit of salt, a little bit of
something. Well, you know what? I think some people genuinely admire it. So I'm going to start with the positive. Some people positive, genuinely admire people perhaps like us who are ambitious people. Right. And so I do think it comes from a good place for some people who are, let's just take us as an example, right? We were both already leaders, already influencers. We already had our own tribe. So people are following, and I'm sure there's at least one. I always say there's at least one person who is, admiring our ambition, that we would have the guts to convert our girlfriend conversations into a podcast, the audacity that we would do this, funded ourselves. And then, accept an opportunity with LinkedIn. And so somebody is saying, oh my God, they're so ambitious too. Because you know why? We have full-time jobs. You are an executive over there. Yes. I too, both. We are. So like that's ambition. So some people are seeing it as a positive. I'm sure you get it, Mita. You're speaking more now that your book is available now, Amazon pre-order. So you're going to have some women in the audience, even men, that are going to come up and like, oh my goodness, She's so ambitious. The fact that she has a job, she's a mom, she writes for Harvard, she contributes, she's got the podcast and the book. Do you see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying. I absolutely see what you're saying. I wonder if there's a different word. I feel like ambition for me has a little bit been poisoned and weaponized. Is it that you're driven? Okay. I don't know. It's interesting, right? But I wanted to get into this with you because I wanted to share this with you. So you know Maura, who has the podcast Anxious Achiever. Yes. She's part of the LinkedIn podcast network. She launched a book and it's called The Anxious Achiever. Turn Your Biggest Fears into Your Leadership Superpower. She sends me this book and I say, I'm going to go buy a copy too, because that's what we do for each other. Don't send me that's free right. copies. I will buy your book. I can't buy them all, that's but right. I will buy. I try. We support each other, right? So yeah. I'm on the plane for a work event. Dee, I cannot put this book down. I can't put this book down because let me tell you what's running through my head. Is it ambition that's driven me my entire career, or is it anxiety? Is it anxiety or is it ambition? Because I will tell you, it is like the Taylor Swift song that my daughter is obsessed with, Antihero. We've talked about this on the podcast. There's a famous line in it. Taylor says, yes, Taylor. I'm going to say Taylor because I feel like I know her. Taylor Swift says, hi, it's me. I'm the problem. It's me. And I feel like for so many women of color who feel like we have never fit into so many of our workplaces, this world of work wasn't designed for us, that we are the problem, but we are not. It's the systems and processes that were built that don't fit us. That anxiety of you have to work twice as hard.
Yeah.
You're going to be found out.
Oh, yes.
You're going to be on that restructure list.
Yes. Yes.
You're not visible. You're too much.
Yep.
You're aggressive. You're too quiet. The constant dance we do. And so I had this moment, and there's not many times when I read a book that kind of like totally spins my world around to say, am I ambitious or am I just driven by anxiety? I think I'm in a different place now as an executive, but I'm looking back through the course of my career asking myself this question.
Right. You know, this is such a great observation or such a great insight and reframe. I love every piece of this. I'm gonna have to get that book. But my wheels are spinning now. I'm thinking the same thing about me. Is it ambition?
Said publicly to me, privately, social anxiety that drives you as well. We both talk about this, and so you're like, wow, what is it that was driving me this entire time? Was it ambition? Was it anxiety?
You know what? This strikes a chord. I think. I think this very well could be that my ambition, right? We agree we're ambitious.
Of course, yes.
Could it be anxiety? And part of, you know, I'm going to say as a Black woman, the desire and need to achieve or to, right, to do and like having to work harder. I'm just thinking about all of the things and all of who my mom is, my mother, my father, and then like what about my background that drove me to have big vision and great ambition, but much of it, the undercurrent is really anxiety. I'm thinking about it because I think there could be some truth there for me as well. And again, it is because of you have to work twice as hard, right?
Yeah,
you have to show up, deliver, prove, improve. And so, yeah, so let me clarify and tease out. It's that piece. It's as a Black woman, right? And coming from a single mom, my mom was single, two children, very young, right? Some part of me knew that I had to work really hard. Twice as hard that I had to prove and then I call it reproof and reproof. And so I think all of that could be the anxiety and the anxiousness of that drove the ambition versus just being ambitious so let me just say that. I feel like I'm on the couch. Like I feel Dr. Mita. Doc.
Well, I will add from my perspective, I agree with everything you said. As the proud daughter of Indian immigrant parents, my dad was from a family of 10. My mom's from a family of 9. None of their siblings immigrated to this country. So they were, even to this day, so they were alone, right? I mean, my dad came to Manhattan. He was in the Y, lived there for a while. He was highly educated, was a janitor for a long time, trying to make ends meet. My mother came later when he could afford, right, to support both of them. So it's that survival, right? Yeah. Like they were always in survival, and they didn't have a lot of community growing up. Like I'm so blessed today that I have, that if I, God forbid, couldn't afford to pay my mortgage or rent, or couldn't afford something that I needed to sustain my family, I have people that would help me. They didn't have that. They didn't have that. And so there's that sort of our family history, our ancestors that kind of drive us, right? Mm-hmm. The anxiety piece. And then there is the desire to excel and achieve, of course. But the anxiety piece was something I had never thought about when it comes to ambition. But let's call in our WBs, as you would say, our allies, our white boy network, our white man friends who are listening in.
Yes.
Has anyone ever asked you, why are you so ambitious? Have you ever been branded with the label ambition? Because if you have, we'd love to hear from you. I'm really curious on that. I only know my own lived experience, and I only know the lived experiences of my girlfriends, Dee, and other people who tell me, but that's really interesting. Do men get branded as being ambitious?
This is, let me tell you what I heard you heard differently. I heard two things. I heard the statement, you're so ambitious, and then why are you so ambitious? Mm-hmm. And so interesting. I could just picture this. You're at the water cooler. I'm telling you, I see her. I see the person standing there.
You're so ambitious.
I really do in my head. You're so, why are you so ambitious? I could see it. But you're right. Do men get the question? Or is that a word, label, and frame that's attached to women? And actually, and then women of color, as if it's a surprise, as if it's not normal. It's a surprise. It's not normal. It's not typical. And then some part of that, I'm going to go to the shade, and some part is that to settle you and bring you down. Like, yeah, you really shouldn't be that ambitious. Like your whole energy, like I feel even some part of that as well. So that's the opposite side of the positive.
There is. It's like you're taking up too much space. You need to collaborate more. All the things we talked about, it ties to that ambition of trying to minimize us, dim our light, I would say. But I am careful. I will tell you, I am careful because I have been probably a product of the society we're being raised in, right? I am fiercely ambitious, unapologetically ambitious, boldly ambitious, as you would say, Dee, we both are.
Yep.
But I'm careful who I share that with. I am careful who I share my plans with, right?
Yeah.
Who I share what I'm going to be working on with, because that's all I'm going to say about it. I'm careful.
The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by Dynatrace. Imagine a workplace where your passion shapes innovation, your well-being is a priority, and your team is made up of curious and devoted people bringing bold ideas to life. That's Dynatrace, a leading observability and security company enabling software worldwide to work perfectly, even the software you might be running right now. Explore job opportunities worldwide at careers.dynatrace.com.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Jesse Hempel, host of the Hello Monday podcast. In my 20s, I knew what career success looked like. In midlife, it's not that simple. Work is changing, we're changing, and there's no guidebook for how to make sense of it. So come figure it out with me on the Hello Monday podcast. I've been a journalist for 2 decades, writing cover stories for Business Week, Fortune, and Wired. And now, every Monday, I bring you conversations with people who are thinking deeply about work and where it fits into our lives, like Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella on growth mindsets.
The learn-it-all does better than the know-it-all.
Or NYU professor Scott Galloway on choosing a career.
I think the worst advice you can give a kid is follow your passion.
Or MacArthur Genius winner Angela Duckworth on talent versus grit.
Your long-term effort and your long-term commitment are surprisingly important.
Each episode delivers pragmatic advice for right now. Listen to Hello Monday with me, Jesse Hempel, on the LinkedIn Podcast Network. or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. You know, the anxious part of this, again, I really receive it as the undercurrent. Like, I'm sure if we had therapists here.
Yes.
They'd connect the dots, I think, probably to the extent that you would. Like, it's really an undercurrent, or the underpinning of ambition for some is, it could be perhaps.
It could be.
It could be. Not saying absolute, but I like the challenge. I always like to reflect and process in terms of where that's coming from. I have a coach, actually a productivity coach. Oh, you know what? She gave me a tool. I'm going to look and find out where there's the connection and what she has to say about it. Yeah, she feels more like a therapist sometimes because she specializes in productivity and executive functioning. Yes, she does.
Interesting. The other thing that just came up for me is, you know, I have Jay and Priya, my 10 and 8-year-old, 10 going on 20, 8 going on 18. And the times that I have gone on leave, parental leave, and gone back into the workforce, I'll remember after coming back with my daughter, I was up for a big promotion. And the then former manager said to me, "Why are you so ambitious right now? You just had 2 kids. Don't worry about it. That next role is going to come. Why are you so ambitious?" So in that framing too, really interesting, right? It's like, who are you to make career choices for me? We've talked about this on the show. And so that to me is really interesting too, as your life changes and our stories are being rewritten, how people view that. So as people view my becoming a mother as a loss of ambition, or me being less committed or interested in my career. And so that's where I've also seen ambition for women be tied into the workforce as well. And I can only speak to my experience as a mother, but that's also definitely happened for me. And of course, you know, we know the motherhood premium and the fatherhood, excuse me, let me say that again. I wish it was that word, and I'll start again. And we know that's well documented, the fatherhood premium and the motherhood penalty, right? So for like every kid that my husband and I have had together, he's seen as more ambitious, more driven, more employable. Yeah. He'll make more money and I'm a disheveled mess, right? And so it is that, and that bears out in the statistics. And so all of a sudden when men become fathers, they're seen also as more ambitious. Very interesting.
Because they carry the child 9 months and what the labor and delay.
Yeah, of course, all those things.
Anyway, but you know what? So also this idea and this conversation of the people or the person who says to the other, or no, let me back up for a second. Also in this conversation, I hear somebody projecting, like when you say, you got the feedback. Hey, why, you just had a baby. You should be satisfied, or you should just do that. What that is that's projecting how they would feel or address, or, you know, it's like their value, their standard, their baseline. It feels like it's
absolutely
projecting. And then another aspect, it feels like keeping score or I think managing the board so that you don't get more points. That's what I hear, right? Because if you're more ambitious and then the other is not as ambitious, it's really a way of, right? Let's say it's you and me, right? If I'm saying to you, you know, you're really ambitious. You should, that's me managing score because I know I'm not as ambitious. And I feel like if I feel threatened that you are getting ready to score or you're now surpassing, I feel like I've got to manage that. And my way to manage it, because what I'm not going to do is play the game with you. Like, I'm not going to try to one up. So now you're making me uncomfortable. So I'm keeping score and I'm trying to manage the score by having this conversation. Ooh. That's an undercurrent of all of that.
You know what? And you know what I'll say to that is that the people who really care for us and look out for us in the workplaces, in our communities, they'll never use that term. They will never use that term in that way, right? They would never, right?
I would never, ever
use that label of ambition in a way to weaponize you. Like, I would never do that.
No.
Like, that's just not something, right? but exactly to what you're saying, when someone's threatened, it's so fascinating. I do want to bring this into the workplace for a second. And for those listening in, imagine if you're in a talent review and someone pipes up and says, yeah, why is Dee so ambitious? I don't know if she needs to be that ambitious. Like, she keeps pushing for this promotion and she's been in this role only for like 2 years. So let's just, yeah, you know, we should have a chat with her. I've heard Stranger Things behind closed doors. So I'm saying that we have this podcast to help allies, right? So if you hear that,
yeah,
intervene to say, why is that word ambition relevant here? Why are we using that? Can you help me explain? Yeah. Can you help me understand the word ambition and why we're using that to describe D and how we're using it, more importantly?
That's good. That's good. And I think for people leaders, for all people leaders here, like, you know, this is insightful. That ambition should only be used in a positive, but it really doesn't, it's not a feedback, I think, that is super constructive or helpful or high value. I don't, in a performance review, you know why? Because it's vague. It's vague, and feedback, better feedback for people leaders, right? People need more specifics from leaders.
Yes.
And that's a big issue we see in the work that we do, particularly when it comes to historically underrepresented groups, women of color. I'm speaking, you know, again, now as a CEO of a company who does this work, ambitious, like you don't even necessarily need to write that ever on feedback, because not because it's bad, but because it's just not high value. You want much more specific. Talk about the skills, talk about the value or the way that somebody delivers and what they deliver in terms of results and tangibles and stuff like that. But ambitious is just like, it's almost like, I'm gonna tell you, so can I tell you another word that is super a Black issue as a Black woman is when anybody says she's so articulate.
Oh, mm-hmm.
She's so articulate. Because again, we talked about this, is as if it's a surprise, as if surprise. I am, again, it's othering, it's a surprise, it's, you shouldn't be as articulate. And so, because you are, it just, yeah. So it's just not a.
That's another good one for our WB network. Yeah. Have you ever been given the feedback that you're so articulate? That's the reframe here.
Yep.
Because if you have, send us a DM, we'd be interested in talking to you. But just pause and think about that. These labels, like how, I really can't think of a time, and again, I'm not in every conversation, so please reach out to us, when men are being branded as being too ambitious, or their ambition is being called into question, or, you know, fake complimented, as I like to say, the fake compliment with sort of like a little bit of salt sprinkled in.
Yeah. I also, last thing about this, I also feel like when the word ambition or ambitious, that reference, I feel like it's probably used more entry level, mid, senior. Like, I can't imagine as a high level executive or senior executive or ELT.
Somebody
talking about, like, no, seriously. Tell me yes or yes.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I agree with you.
Yep. There we go. There we go. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Dee, here we are. These episodes always go by so fast. We want to provide value and stories and move into the tips. So here we are, Dee. I'm going to hand it over to you for tips 1 and 2.
Yep. So tip number 1 is vague feedback is canceled. Not helpful, not useful. So that is tip number 1. Remember, no vague feedback. And tip number 2, positive asset search. So remember, only look for positives and reference positives. And so if you have to use the word ambitious, then make sure it is speaking to a positive and not a negative. All right. So Mita, over to you for tip 3.
Tip 3, it's for all of our allies. Thank you for being here and being a part of our BTT community. Allies in the workplace and our communities, please step in and step up. If you hear someone asking me, why am I so ambitious? Please intervene. And as Dee said, vague feedback is canceled. So let's make sure that we are stepping in and stepping up for each other. Always. Thank you so much for being here. We love you. We love the LinkedIn Podcast Network, our community, season 7. If you have enjoyed this conversation, please Share it with someone who needs it today. Please go review and subscribe, and we will see you next time.
Side effects of listening to Round Table Talk may include allies unleashed, getting paid more, and a dose of badassery all the way around. More at www.browntabletalkpodcast.com.